لبيك اللهم لبيك، لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك، إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear Quran buddies, how is everyone doing? I hope and pray that you all will be on the highest levels of Iman and Taqwa and will be spending your Ramadan to its fullest, inshallah wa ta'ala, with your journey through Quran. Ameen summa ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran, welcome you for your quest of knowledge in Journey Through Quran. So alhamdulillah, we completed just 19th yesterday. Full of practical examples for us to focus so we can lead a life of obedience for our Rabb, bi-iznillah, right? And what was the theme of the Juz girls? Find yourself five friends. You are the average of your friends. Choose friends wisely. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And you know, it is so very important because a person is, person acts the same way her or his friends act, right? So we have to be very wise in choosing our friends so we can have a better life, inshallah wa ta'ala. They take us, you know, like side by side, friends walk and then they lead a righteous life, inshallah wa ta'ala. Juz started with the continuation of Surah Al-Furqan, and a severe warning was given to those who do not believe in the meeting with their Lord on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry and saying that they have transgressed in their arrogance and have demanded for angels to come. Subhanallah. Then we were warned about the regrets of the Day of Judgment, about choosing our friends wisely. We were told to stay away from such people who take you away from Quran, because a person is on his friend's team. Subhanallah. You know, at the Day of Judgment, when there will be no shade, the only shade will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh. And one of the category who will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh will be who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we all are sitting here with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just know each other by IDs. We cannot put face on any ID, but we know with the IDs. And subhanallah, we are here for one common cause, to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, right? So we could be contenders, inshallah wa ta'ala. We hope to be contenders of that group, which will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh, since we love each other for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his kalam. And we are here just for the one common cause. Ameen summa ameen. We were told to stay, yeah, because a person is on his friend's deen. Then we were told the history of four nations, that they were destroyed because they followed their desires and disobeyed and denied their prophets. Obeying desires is self-worshipping, and self-worshipping is when somebody do self-worshipping, then the sunnah is eliminated from that person's life. And inshallah wa ta'ala, we will abstain from it, and we will refrain ourselves to self-worship, and inshallah wa ta'ala try to be obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learned the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And can anybody start writing? What are they? Let's go through them one by one, so we can be, inshallah wa ta'ala, we can have the qualities. We try to strive for those qualities, inshallah wa ta'ala. They are the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They walk with humility and sedateness, and upon some foolish addressing them with bad words, how do they reply? They reply back with mild words of gentleness. Subhanallah, subhanallah. They spend the night worshipping their Lord, prostrating and standing. And what is their dua? Anyone has memorized that dua? رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us to do this dua. Grant us ability to prostrate and stand and worship at night and do the dua. They walk the talk like Quran, and they're walking, talking, follow all the laws. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then they take a middle way while spending. Neither they spend extravagantly nor they are misers who do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not kill another soul simply because Allah forbade them, but for a just cause. Nor they are involved in adultery. They do not witness for falsehood, and if any evil they experience, they just walk away with dignity. Allahu Akbar. They are, when they are reminded of the ayat of their Lord, they do not act as if they are deaf and dumb. They are the people who have been bestowed the comfort of their eyes from their offsprings and were promised the leadership of Muttaqeen, the highest place in Jannah, because of all that patience they exercise throughout their lives. It's hard work, sisters, hard work, really hard work. But then the reward they are getting, the leadership of the leaders of Muttaqeen, the highest place in Jannah, it is not a small reward, not at all. And every struggle, every step taken to achieve that will not be enough. So we will, inshallah ta'ala, action point. We have to work on the on these qualities, inshallah ta'ala, so we can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can honor us. A beautiful abode, subhanallah, and what an honor. We have to try adapting these qualities, inshallah, so we can be included among them, bismillah. Ya Allah, include us among your righteous slave, Ibadur Rahman. Ameen, sumameen. Next was Surah Ashura, another beautiful surah, alhamdulillah. We were shown Ayat-e-Kawni, and what are those? Anybody remembers? Anyone remembers what were Ayat-e-Kawni? The ayats who provide us means to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. In Musa alayhi salam's story, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out from any situation. So when things get tough, we should have a strong belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believer. So we will make loads of du'as as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make the impossible possible, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then subhanallah, Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrifices were reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, every juz has Musa alayhi salam's and Ibrahim alayhi salam's name mentioned in there. The oneness of Allah declared by Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us and he will be the one who will guide us, inshallah wa ta'ala. He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will provide provisions for us, and he is the one who will grant us health if we get sick. And he is the one who gave us life, and he is the one who will give us death too, inshallah wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it can't get any clearer than this. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us declare the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as clear as it is. We were told we will not be benefited at the Day of Judgment by our wealth and sons, only if we will come with qalbi salim. So we need a qalbi salim in order for us to be rewarded, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are rewarded with one, inshallah. Then Nuh alayhi salam story. Yes, sisters, let's make dua in the gathering of angels that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us istiqamat like Nuh alayhi salam. Ameen. We were told to worry about our own deeds, and any association will not help us and save us. Towards the end of the surah, we were told to connect people with Allah and always expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. We were told that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can catch you any time. You need to repent, and it will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He will grant us another opportunity. Inshallah wa ta'ala. We started Surah Naml. And what does Naml mean? An ant. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave example of the tiniest creature. We learned that that although iman is inside a person, but what it makes us do are the actions which are outside and can be seen. Allahu Akbar. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose people for the work of His path. Lesson, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us for this employment. The best employment ever. Ameen summa ameen. We also learned that wealth can be the means to earn iman and taqwa, if used wisely. Sulaiman alayhi salam's example. We were told not to be hasty and impatient and do istighfar so we could receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. What a beautiful thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of the juz. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise and thanks are to Allah and peace be on His slaves whom He has chosen for His message. Is Allah better or all that you ascribe as partners to Him? Of course Allah is better. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a uplifting thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best planet. Alhamdulillah. He subhanahu wa ta'ala has plans for us too, inshallah, to see what is next in just 20th. What gems are hidden for us to explore. For that learning quest, let's join Sister Faiza with just 20th in our journey through Quran. Dear sisters, a reminder for myself first, that the descent countdown has started and we have to make the best of what's left in our journey. Stay focused, make notes inshallah wa ta'ala, so our hands, our eyes, our ears and our hearts will be witnessed in our favor at the day of judgment inshallah wa ta'ala, and not against us. Ameen summa ameen. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asan jaza. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's fill our hearts with the gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this third, entering this third decade of the Quran. You can say there are three sets. If you divide the Quran in three sets and a set of 10, we have completed the first set of 10 and then the second set of 10 today will be completed. Do you know why it is important? Because the Quran's flow, it's amazing. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has trained us from the beginning, in the first 10 juz, we were told what is the purpose and how should we begin our life. In the second decade, the second 10 juz, we learn about how to live this life and how can you improve towards the betterment of yourself by learning different qualities of like mu'minun, like ibadur rahman, and many other things. And now that we're entering the last set of 10 juz, we will be learning towards how to go and achieve the goal towards the righteous ending. And this is what the main topic of the last 10 juz is, that is to prepare for akhirah. First 10, to know, get to know who you are. Second 10, how to improve yourself. Third 10, how you're going to enter and what you will be facing. This is how Quran flows. Every surah flows with each other. Every message flows with each other. Every ayah flows with each other. And every, if you divide the Quran in any way, you will find the flow is there. It never interrupts the flow. And this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given this book. This is why you see so many researches have been done and people are still discovering something new. When you become a student of Quran, you will know and you will practice this yourself and you will amaze yourself with this. That even though you have learned this before, but you will find it very new. Just that the other day, one of the students privately messaged me and she said, even though she's been learning and taking this Dari Quran with us for the past 3 years, and she said this time it seems like she's learning it for the first time. And this is the beauty of Quran. It's never too old. It never grows old. And it never makes you feel that you have already known this information. This is why one of the Sahabi, he was learning the Quran, and there was a 30th time, and he was learning from the same teacher, and he said, it is not enough still. This is why you and I can take this moment and make intention that only few days of month of Ramadan left. And what am I going to do with my life? And if you want, we can really plan something after Ramadan and starting sometime soon, right in summer. So we can really continue this journey. And you know what? The time of the making du'a is now. While you are in a sitting in a company of the pious message and pious people, and your heart is filled with taqwa. This is why you're here. You know that? Because if you didn't have any taqwa to begin with, you would not be here. How many people do you know they got this information that this journey through Quran is going on? If they're going somewhere else, alhamdulillah. But there are many out there who didn't go anywhere without any reason. They have time. They have the ability to learn. They can do it, but they're not doing it. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you and given you a special status. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do some khayr, bring some goodness to a person, He gives them the knowledge of His deen. Let's thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a gratitude and say from the heart that, O Allah, I am pleased with you and I am very grateful to you that you have chosen me to learn this book. With that note, let's listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs and then we'll continue, inshallah.
أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَنْ تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا أَإِلَهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وجعل لها رواسي وجعل بين البحرين حاجزا أإله مع الله بل أكثرهم لا يعلمون
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, today we are here with juz number 20, which is the last and final 10 juz we are already getting on to. And let's make the dua that Allah SWT make it possible for us that we are staying on this juz until we reach the Surah An-Nas in the juz 30. Let's see, what is today's theme? Today's theme for juz 20 is, be like Ummi Musa. Is mother, right? Ummi Musa means mother of Musa alayhi salam. Why? Because in this juz, we will learn ayahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he told Musa's mother that let the baby go, I want you to imagine that. It is easy. Do you think it is easy for any mother to let the baby go in the middle of an ocean? Can you do that? If somebody comes and tells you that, you know what, there is a danger out there and you need to put your baby in a river. Currently right now I'm seeing a pond behind my home. And I was thinking when I was preparing for these ayahs that if somebody tells me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even ilhams me, give me wahi, revelation, not revelation in a way that it was done to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but like an idea, like insight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me, that why don't you go and put your child, a baby, into this pond that you see out there. How would I feel? Would I be able to do it or not? That's the question you need to ask, and I too. So this is why today we will learn a lot of lessons. Inshallah, we'll go into the detail when the ayahs come. But for now, I want you to understand that be like Ummi Musa means when Ummi Musa, when she was told to give up the baby, she did. And that's the lesson we're going to learn today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I, many of us, with children. Right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you and I with children, what should we do? Give them up in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't hold on to them. Don't try to be too much worried about their comfort of this life. Because you know what? As a parent, majority of the parents do provide comfort of all kinds to their kids. They're always worried about whether the child can get enough sleep or not, whether they can wear clean clothes or not, whether there's enough food for them or not, whether they're eating the choice of food they want or not, whether they are getting all the comforts of life or not. But when it comes to giving them up in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I mean by giving them up in the way of Allah is not giving them up physically, but making their mindset attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because only then, Ummul Tawassat, you remember this lesson we learned in the second juz, that we are Ummul Tawassat and we have to develop a nation. Because it takes a generation change for some positivity to come. And the generation change starts from where? Do you think it starts from the universities? No, it's not. Do you think it starts with a good government? No, it's not. It starts with the lap of a mother, where she actually develops a mindset in such a way that the child grow up to be a leader of the ummah. This is why if you go to the next slide, you see the dua of today. And this is a very common dua. We have already learned this dua in Surah Al-Furqan the other day. But today I want you to take this dua from a different perspective. What do we learn in this dua? We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana hablana min azwajina. This word hablana is very important. You know why? Because you're not saying Rabbana atina. Did you notice that? Because usually we say Rabbana atina fi dunya, right? Here you're saying Rabbana hablana. You know why? This hab is a gift. So Allah bestows this gift upon us, min azwajina wa dhurriyatina, meaning on our wives, our spouses, and our offsprings. When you say the word dhurriyatina, all the kids will come in there, the generations to come, not just your immediate kid that you give birth to, but your grandchildren and their children until the day of judgment. And dhurriya, it can also include somebody who is before you, because they are dhurriya of somebody, right? They had their parents, so they are dhurriya. You are dhurriya for your parents, and your parents were dhurriya for their parents, so you include all of them. And then you ask them that, oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them qurrata ayunin, meaning coolness of the eyes, apple of the eye. You know, when mothers and parents really plan for their children, when their kids succeed in something, their eyes lit up. Right? You feel so good. My child, mashallah, look at him. He's so successful. He's a grown-up man now. He's in a workforce now. all these happiness are related to this dunya matter. You and I as a mother, we need to train ourselves that are the real happiness, the real coolness of the eyes is when they become sadaqah jariya for you and I. Imagine if you become a mother like that, who raise a nation in such a way, not just your own immediate kids, but your grandkids also become coolness of your eyes. How beautiful that would be. And وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, meaning you are telling your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them the leaders of the pious, leaders of the muttaqeen, not just any leader, because leaders could be any. Like for example, the leader of this country is may not be pious, right? Or I don't want to say anything, but you know what I mean. I mean that we need to raise our kids in such a way that they become leaders of the ummah of al-muttaqeen. You know why? Because that's where the success lies. And you know what? When we hear this word imama, does that mean the imam of the masjid? No, that's only one type of imam. There are many kinds of leadership that our kids can come. In Quran, when we learn so many subjects, what do we learn? There are so many, every category of human life is discussed in Quran. From raising kids to dying and getting married and divorce laws and economic issues and how to run this country and the foreign policies and the national policies and how to live and develop personalities that are devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what? We can only be strive for like being Umm Musa if we are ready to take all these qualities upon ourselves first. Only then we will be able to give these qualities to our kids. You know why? Because unless we have this mindset that I want to be Umm Musa who gives up her child for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will give your child back to you. The same way? No. He's going to make him a leader for us. And this is why in the first slide that you saw, it said, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْهِ. Do not fear and do not grieve. Indeed, we will return him to you. What does that mean? Meaning, yes, it's not easy in the beginning when you have this mindset to raise your child with a certain qualities that are qualities that may not be appreciated in this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you take initial step. You give up first thing. You make up your mind. You have the desire. And I will give him back to you with tenfolds, multiple folds. And this is why, imagine if Musa's mother had said, no, I cannot do that. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have chose her son to become a Musa? No. And do you think it was possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give the birth of Musa on a year that was a killing was going on? Just like Harun alayhi salam, for them, for him, his mother didn't have to do anything, right? So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested her and she actually passed the test. So the lesson we learn for ourselves moving forward is we are given a test. In the form of kids. Now, all these kids, whether you have 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, each child, write down his name or her name in your notes and write down, he is my test paper. For example, when a person gives a test, he gives test of, like, for example, in an examination hall, you give one day test of the social studies and the next day is a mathematics test and the next day is the science and then a lit and all these. Each child is a test paper. You are giving those tests and you are fulfilling and writing those test paper. It is up to you. How do you raise them and what kind of qualities do you want in them? You know why we need to understand this? Because when it comes to raising child, we forget that what kind of test they are. We just use them for the comfort of our eyes and we raise them because they make us happy. But we forget that we have something to do with them, and that is we need to develop a personality in them. There are a few points I want to share with them. Think of your child as a farmland. Think of them as a seed, and you are sowing the seed. Whatever you sow in, it will come out. Teach them humbleness through your own character. Instead of telling them you should do this, you should do that, show the humbleness through your character by forgiving them, by loving them, by hugging them. Even if they're grown up, Hug them, even if they are boys, touch them. Hug them because they need it. Because if you don't provide this hugging and touching, they will try to seek it from outside. And know that your values that you are teaching them, it will be transferred. It will be inherited. Just like they inherit your traits, like what color of the skin and color of the eyes and the hair, they inherit your values too. So keep in mind what kind of values you are giving it to them. And then develop extremely friendly environment with them. When they do something wrong, instead of yelling, love them. When they really upset you, instead of saying something bad, give them the awe, because this is what the mother is all about. And you know what? It is a mother's job to extract goodness in a child, because when a child is a child, he has all both characters in him. Evil is also there and goodness is also there. It is a job of a mother to really highlight the goodness of a child and really make it a dominant feature in him instead of evil. You know how the mother can do that? By being extremely patient when a child does something wrong. By being extremely patient when a child is not listening. This is how you will develop a personality that is humble. Also, one more point I wanted to share here is that show your affection to its max, and because they need it. And another point is here is that how do you connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Teach them money matters through the currency of the Jannah. Meaning, you have to develop this mindset in them that the life that you're living, what is the most important thing that you need to earn? Generally speaking, parents teach their children that they need to earn money, right? So they can live comfortably. You need to develop this mindset that you need to earn currency with good deeds. Get them excited. Let them count it. Oh, 10 deeds for this. Oh, I'm going to recite Quran, this many words. How many deeds I'm going to get today? At the end of the day, ask them, how many deeds did you collected? Because this deeds, instead of using deeds, you should give them a nice, beautiful name that they can enjoy. And because this is a currency, this is a money that they're collecting in their money box. Every day, they can write their good deeds if they're small. If they're grown up, let them see that the currency of good deeds is what you're going to need when you enter Jannah. And this is what you're going to take you to Jannah. So when you are working here, if your child comes and asks you, Mom, where are you going? You say, oh, I'm going to buy some good deeds. And he's going to say, buying good deeds? What does that mean? Tell them that buying good deeds means that it is good deeds that I'm collecting in my account. And he's going to ask you a question. What are you going to do with that good deeds? You can say, I'm going to buy Jannah with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the small little sentences and gestures help you to really develop that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, this is the missing element in raising Ummah. This is why we see kids are not really loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that much. And this love is developed by mother. And how you're going to do it? Where can you start? Number one, have desire. Number two, make dua. Number three, develop your own character by coming to Quran. Let's go to the next slide. Connection between Juz 19 and Juz 20. Themes. What is the connection? In Juz 19, we learn choose your friends wisely, right? And here we learn that if you choose your friend wisely, do you think it's going to have effect on your friends, of your kids and your kids? Yes, of course, because automatically you are putting them in a good company. Keep them busy with those who are raised in the same values as you are, and let them enjoy the life by being around the friends of good value friends, you know? So this is why invite them over and keep ties with the families whose kids are raised good way with the values, and so that your kids also spend time with them. Instead of letting them go to the bowling next and the entertainment next and then main event next and full on event next and full on event next. No, keep them busy with the company of your friends and their kids so they stay in front of your eyes and they can have fun too, but you know that they're safe, inshallah. Let's go to the next slide where we learn the main points and main topics that we will learn in Juz 20. And what are they? There will be three surahs there. Surah Naml, Surah Qasas and Surah Al-Ankabut. What we will learn, some of the points that are written here are, get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through nature. The people, a lot of people say, oh, they don't have Quran, so how are they going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Today we will learn that this is the mindset we need to develop in our kids, that they get to see the nature and they get to know Allah. They get to eat the food and they think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah doesn't need us, He gets His work done regardless. And we will learn about the Dabba. And take care of your deeds. And what else we will learn? Because the deeds are very easy to let go. So we have to worry about the deeds. And the role of a woman in a healthy society. And be a beggar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And insolence and its effects. And falsehood is flimsy. All these topics will come, inshallah, today. Let's begin with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have already said, A'udhu Billah, Alhamdulillah, if not, then say it now. If you already had said the du'as of seeking knowledge, Alhamdulillah. But if not, say them now. So we can begin with ayah number 60 of Surah An-Naml. In this surah, what we learn, there are so many more treasures. Yes. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. فما كان جواب قومه إلا أن قالوا أخرجوا آل لوط من قريتك مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَهَرُونَ. But the answer of his people was not except that they said, expel the family of Lut from your city. Indeed, they were people who keep themselves pure. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَهُ قَدَّرْنَاهَا مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ. So we saved him and his family, except of his wife. We destined her to be those who remained behind. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِ مَطْرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذِرِينَ. And we rained upon them rain of stones, and evil was rain of those who were warned. And قُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَىٰ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ أَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Say, O Prophet, praise be to Allah, to peace and peace upon His servants, whom He has chosen. Is Allah better or what they associate with Him? And more precisely, He is not best who created the heavens. He is not best who created the heavens and the earth and sent down for you rain from the sky, causing to grow thereby gardens of joyful beauty, which you could not otherwise have grown the trees thereof. Let the kids involved in these ayahs talk to them. If you put the seed inside the, let's do an activity of growing the plant, right? If you put the seed inside the ground, what happens? Let them think about it. Is it you who is growing it, or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This connection of the talking can only be done if we like to be a mother like Ummi Musa. And causing to grow thereby gardens of joyful beauty, which you could not otherwise have grown the trees thereof. Is there a deity with Allah? No, but there are a people who ascribe equals. Is he not best who made the earth a stable ground and placed within its river and made for it firmly set mountains and placed between the two seas a barrier? All these things can really bring our kids closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they need to think all these things too. Is there any deity with Allah? No, but most of them do not know. This is why أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of the people do not even think about all these things. Is He not best who respond to the desperate? This ayah number 62 highlighted, because in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, who is the one who listens to your du'as and mine? أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُفْطَرَ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. What do we learn here? Is He not the best who responds to the desperate one when He calls? When He calls upon him and removes evil and make you inheritors of the earth. Is there a deity with Allah? Little do you remember? In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when a person may be in extreme desperateness, when he is extremely down, and when he is seeing that there is no way out of the situation which he is in, at that moment, when someone calls on Allah, Allah says, who listens to your dua? Amma yujibu. This is a question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking. Amma yujibu al-muftara. who listens to your dua? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to dua. Iza da'ahu wa yakshifu su. Iza da'ahu, Allah listens to it. Wa yakshifu su. And He removes the evil, whatever you are in. This ayah is an ayah of extreme hope, because when people may be going through desperate situation, this ayah really opens up their heart and connects them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah shows the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is relevant with the mindset that I am here, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I should ask, and He is the one who listens. Ayah number 63. Is He not best who guides you through the darkness of the land and the sea, and who sends the wind as good tidings before His mercy? Is there a deity with Allah? High is Allah above whatever they associate with Him. Question: do I really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highest in my life? People generally say Allahu Akbar during Salah, but when they come out of the Salah, they say, I want to have a party my way. I want to have a function according to my likings. I want to dress up according to what I think it's like, right? So they don't really consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the biggest one. Someone just shared this video, and in that video, the lady, the TV show, the clip, and the program was about the praising Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the girl was singing a nasheed in praising Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now Zabila, you know what she is wearing? She was wearing sleeveless clothes with full makeup, with the hair down, and as if she was not even wearing any clothes, very fitting. And then yet from the mouth of hers, the nasheed of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praise. Is this really Allahu Akbar? Is this how Allah is supposed to be in our life? That you can just sing a night nasheed and, well, you're displaying yourself and you are a picture of something that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never ever approve? Aren't we playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When we display ourselves and then we say we are very good Muslims, we give charities, we pray, we go to Hajj, we go to Umrah twice a year. There are people you'll find around you that they go to Umrah every year, but when they come back from Umrah, they do a party to celebrate the Umrah, and they do all kinds of things that you're not supposed to be doing. We have taken this deen in our hands, the way we like to follow it. So, is there any deity with Allah? Say, produce your proof if you should be truthful. And say, none in the heavens and earth knows the unseen except Allah, and they do not perceive when they will be resurrected. Rather, their knowledge is arrested concerning the hereafter. Highlight this part. Rather, their knowledge is arrested concerning the hereafter. What does that mean? Yes, they have information that there is a hereafter, but that stays into the knowledge and information level only. It doesn't enter the heart. Do you think when the knowledge and information of Akhirah enters the heart, people can do what they do? Do you think people can still expose themselves? Do you think people can still do the things that they're not supposed to be doing? Do you think they can still be indulging in their life and they have no time for Salah? No, they won't do that. You know why? Because this knowledge has stayed in a level of knowledge only. It didn't never ever enter the heart. So, rather, they are in doubt about it. Rather, they are concerning it blind. This ayah number 66 is a take-home ayah today. Please go home and contemplate and compare yourself against this ayah. Where do I stand when it comes to this yaqeen? Because the yaqeen and iman are two different things. People have iman, alhamdulillah. As a Muslim, we all have iman about akhirah, no doubt about that. But do we have yaqeen about akhirah? That's the question we need to ask. So what did we learn from this section? Observe nature and reach to Allah through that, and do activities like that with your kids so they get to develop the love of Allah. Everything in the universe is following the laws of nature. Allah creates nature laws, right? Allah creates Sharia laws too. Both laws are done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This nature is working in harmony. The Sharia law, when it is implemented, then the humanity will work in harmony. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the call of the distressed ones. So doubt about akhirah keep people away from preparing for it. Next section, ayah number 67 to 82, we learn creature of earth will do the da'wah. Because you know why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you and I. We are mortal and we will be replaced by someone who does obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they say if you die today, tomorrow's the next day, and people forget, and the next and the next. And just yesterday was my mother's death anniversary, because she died on 15th of Ramadan. And I was thinking, you know, it's been so many years. I never thought that I would be living without our mother, but we are. And you die today, tomorrow people will forget us. So might as well do something that at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares, right? Ayah number 67. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا And those who disbelieve say, when we have become dust as well as our forefathers, will we indeed be brought out of the grave? We have been promised this, we and our forefathers before. This is not but legends of the former people. People say, yes, these are some stories and we'll get over it. Say, O Prophet, proceed, that is, travel through the land and observe how was the end of the criminals and grieve not over them or be in distress from what they conspire. And they say, when is the fulfillment of this promise? If you should be truthful, say, perhaps it is close behind you, that is very near, some of that for which you are impatient. You know, sometimes people get into this information that when the day of judgment is going to come and they forget about preparing, because when the minute they die, their day of judgment will begin right there. So there are 10 signs of the day of judgment, the major signs, and when these signs appear, the du'as will not be accepted. So what are these signs? The arrival of Imam Mahdi, the Dajjal will come, the descent of Jesus, alayhi salam, the emergence of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and the smoke will appear, the emergence of peace, and the sun will rise from the west, and the landslides will happen, and the fire will begin, and the Kaaba will be destroyed. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, said, hasten to perform good deeds before 6 events. What are those 6 events? The false messiah, the smoke, the beast from the earth, and the rising of the sun from the west, and the general turmoil and your death. So what do we learn in hadith? That you have to run towards goodness. You know why? Because we don't know when these things are going to come. So might as well be prepared for now. You know, when there's a wedding or something going on in a family, do you say on the day of the wedding that morning, let's see, which hall should I contact if it's available so I can send my guests there? And what outfit the bride is going to wear? We don't do that. Then why do we do this for the day of judgment? We think that one day when we will be sitting pretty, have a lot of time, kids are all gone, we will be sitting in a hammock outside between the two trees, and then I'll worry about it, thinking that, so what should I do? How should I plan for my day of judgment? Do you think the time will ever come like that, that we can plan like that? No. So what we learn here is that we have to take these matters with our daily life. Whatever we're doing every day, Akhirah has a place every single day, and it should have an impact on every single decision which you and I make. So say perhaps it is close behind you, that is very near, some of that for which you are impatient. And indeed, your Lord is the possessor of bounty for the people, but most of them are not grateful. May Allah make us among those who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, your Lord knows what their breasts conceal and what they declare. Allah knows what is my priority and how are we proceeding forward. And there is nothing concealed within the heavens and the earth except that it is in clear register. Indeed, this Quran relates to you, to the children of Israel, most of that over which they disagree. Isn't that case today too? Muslims disagree with so many issues, but they don't open the Quran. They are willing to open the books of their authors, of the people, but they're not willing to open the Quran. And this is why they agree in, they disagree and they stay in their dissension. And indeed, it is a guidance. وَإِنَّهُ لَحُدًا وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And indeed, it is guidance and mercy for the believers. Let's make the Adat Allah truly make this Quran guidance of our lives. Indeed, your Lord will judge between them with by His wise judgment. Do we really believe that Allah's judgment is the wise? Wise one? Then, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the exalted in might and knowing. And so reply upon, so rely upon Allah. فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. You know, this tawakkul we talk about in Quran a lot. But when it comes to real life, do you know why we lack this tawakkul? Because we truly don't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And do you know how do we get to know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? When you truly contemplate about each and every ayah, whether it's an ayah in the Quran or whether it's an ayah in the universe out there, that's how you get to develop the tawakkul of Allah. So rely upon Allah. Indeed, you are upon the clear truth. Indeed, you will not make the dead hear, nor will you make the deaf hear the call when they have turned their backs retreating. When people have turned away from this Quran, you cannot make them listen. This is why make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us listen right now and don't turn us away. And you cannot guide the blind away from this error. You will only make hear those who believe in our verses. So they are Muslims in submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you need a heart and a mind to be present, to be benefiting from this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the word that is decreed befalls them, we will bring forth them a creature from the earth speaking to them, saying that the people were of our verses not certain in faith. What do we learn in this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get this dabba out from the earth, and He is the one who's going to speak in favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because people will be very uncertain about their faith. So what do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. We need Allah. Learn lessons from the nature. And make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Use the time that you and I are given now. People say, yes, but I'm working. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first of all, you are not required to earn money. But if you do have to do it, fine. Can you take some time out for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maybe weeknights, maybe weekend, maybe 1 year off, if it's possible. Why not? Why can't we do that? Because in this dunya, we can spend all the time. But if we cannot take time out from our lives, 2-3 hours a day for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what good is the life? Then how can we become the person of Allah's choice, right? So, and one of the major signs of the Day of Judgment we just mentioned is Da'batam min al-ard. And Allah have mercy upon us. And Allah knows everything in our hearts. Meaning, what is my priority? This is the self-analysis question you and I can ask and renew our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So, and also we can ask that, do we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or do we just say that we fear? Do we just assume that we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's a difference between assuming and really fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And ayah number 83 to 93, doing good is easy. Taking care of it is not. People, like we've been learning this for the last 3 years, that it is easy to do good deeds, but if you don't take care of it, they go to waste. And how, this time we're going to learn about how they go to waste. Ayah number 83. وَمَنْ نَحْشِرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا مِمَّنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِنَا فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. And warn of the day when we will gather from every nation a company of those who deny our signs, and they will be driven in rows. Imagine all the people, including you and I, will be standing clearly in rows in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the assembly we have to worry about. People, sometimes kids, they used to have assembly in the morning. I don't think they have it now anymore, but they used to have assembly. And assembly rows are very strict and very straight. Think of that scene and try to imagine that you and I will be standing in a perfectly aligned rows in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting for our time to come. And until when they arrive at the place of judgment, he will say, did you deny my signs while you encompass them not in knowledge or what was in that you were doing? And the decree will befall them. May Allah save us from that day's horror. And for wrong they did, and they will not be able to speak. Today in this world, we speak without full stop. Some people are a constant talker. They love to talk, and they talk sometimes from one thing to another, to another, to another, like a train of talk goes on, and they don't even know what they're saying. So inshallah, try to think, whatever I am talking, is it really worth it? Whatever stories I am sharing, is it really worth it? Whatever people are saying, I have to answer them, is it really worth it? If we ask questions like that to ourselves, inshallah, because you know why? On a day of judgment, even if you want to talk, you won't be able to. Do they not see that we made the night and they may rest therein and the day given sight? Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe and warn of the day, the horn will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth will be terrified except whom Allah wills. May Allah put us among those who are not terrified, and all will come to him humbled. In this dunya, people can be as arrogant as they want, but they're going to have to be humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over on the day of judgment. And you see the mountains thinking them motionless while they will pass as the passing of the clouds. I want you to try to imagine and bring this conversation with your family dinner that these mountains that are stationary right now, they will be walking. How will they be walking? You know, it's not easy to imagine, but this is how the information of Akhirah will become to a yaqeen level when we start imagining all these things, because Quran depicts beautifully the imagery of all these things. And it is work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who perfected all things. Indeed, he is aware of what of that which you do. Notice, whatever we are thinking right now, right this moment, if we are listening, if we are distracted, Allah knows it. Whoever comes at the day of judgment with a good deed will have better than it. Notice here, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever comes at the day of judgment with a good deed will have better than that. And they, from the terror of that day, will be saved. Why? Because when people do good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, with sincerity, they are the one who will be aminun, in aman, in peace, in security. Today, people actually hire these services, security services, to all these home security systems, and they say, now we're secure, because if the burglar will come, they will take care of it. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you do good deeds and live this life according to the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be in peace and security that day. Oh Allah, keep us safe and secure on a day of judgment. And whoever comes with an evil deed, their faces will be overturned into the fire, and it will be said, are you recompensed except for what you used to do? Say, O Prophet, I have only been commanded to worship the Lord of this city who made it scared and to whom belongs all the things, and I am commanded to be of the Muslims, that is, those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't even understand as Muslims what the word Muslim means. The word Muslim means the one who submits. And when we see people live the life of their choice, does that mean that it even know the word Muslim means? Muslim means the one who actually gives up himself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the kalima means. And to recite the Quran, and whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of himself. Highlight this ayah number 92. Why? Because Allah SWT is saying, وَأَنْ أَتْلُوَ الْقُرْآنَ فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. Recite the Qur'an, and whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of himself. Meaning, the Qur'an is where the guidance is, and if you attach yourself with the Qur'an, you are the one who are guided for your own good. And whoever strays, say, I am only one of the warners, and say, all praise is due to Allah. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say it. Can we say it now? Say from the bottom of the heart, Alhamdulillah. He will show you his signs, and you would recognize them, and your Lord is not unaware of what you do. Beautiful surah has ended. Let's listen to the recitation of the Surah Al-Qasas. But before, while you're doing that, try to contemplate what we have learned so far and write some goals in your notes. Let's listen.
يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة القصص. The Qasas means stories, the collection of stories. Here we will learn in Surah Al-Qasas the story of Musa. Even though we've been learning about Musa alayhi salam here and there, but here we will learn the seerah, the life of Musa alayhi salam, from the time he was born, then he reached a teenage, then he got married, and then he found the prophecy. All these early stages of life we will learn. And you know, we find about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the early stages of his life, and this is how Musa alayhi salam's life is explained too. The mention of Musa alayhi salam comes in Quran so much, and we find so many similarities in there too. And Musa alayhi salam, when he was a baby, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed extensively how his life began. If we learn the story of Musa alayhi salam in a story like Inshallah, it will be very, very beneficial. And because this story tells us how the mother should start taking care of the baby, how the siblings should be, and how when the person grows up and he has so much strength, what can happen, and then when you have to leave the place, and then how he got married because he had nothing and he was a fugitive and he was running away, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him everything and he got a good pious wife, and how he was blessed with the Kalamullah, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him when he was coming back to his own town. All these events of his life are discussed in this surah. This is a beautiful, beautiful surah, and it has so many lessons in it, inshallah. So, what do we learn here? Let's begin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qasimim. Tilka ayatul kitab al mubin. These are the verses of the clear book. We recite to you from the news of Musa and Fir'aun in truth for a people who believe. These stories will benefit only those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Fir'aun exalted himself in the land and made its people into factions. What do we learn here? When Fir'aun, he was the leader, and he is the one, the way the leader works, that's how the nations are divided. So he divided the people, oppressing a sector among them, slaughtering their newborn sons, and keep their females alive. Indeed, he was of the corruptors. Why did he do that? people say, in some narration, they say that he saw a dream that there will be a boy who would born into Bani Israel, because Bani Israel were in the captivity under Pharaoh's rule. So he said that the boy will be born from the Bani Israel, then he will try to take over the throne of you. So they, since he was a tyrant ruler, he didn't really think much. So what he did is he just passed an ordinance, passed a bill, and it was approved without even having the parliament approval or something, because he was a ruler, tyrant ruler, and he passed the rule, and the rule became a law. When the rule became a law, all the people of the Bani Israel, when the baby was born in their homes, and he would just, his people, his army was around in the city all the time, and he had these women working for him, then they would go around in the houses of the Bani Israel township, and the minute they heard the news that the baby is born in such and such house, they would go and they would give it to the people of their own, and they would take the baby away. Can you imagine? And here we are today complaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the life tough nowadays. Is it really tough? Imagine if somebody comes in a door to stop the army of the government of today's time and they say, I need your son, and they take it away. This was a huge torture that Bani Israel went through. May Allah save us all from this kind of torture. So what happened next? And we wanted to confer favor upon those who were oppressed in the land and make them leaders and make them inheritors. Allah's plan was to bring the weak to the power, meaning Bani Israel were in captivity. Allah wanted to end their captivity and give them freedom again. This is why Allah SWT said, وَنُمَكِّنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and establish them in the land, and show Fir'aun and his minister Haman and their soldiers through them that which they had feared. What do we learn here? These basically the names that you read here, then Fir'aun and Haman and all these people are basically a character. These characters stayed then and these characters exist now. What do we learn? That all kinds of characters will always be there. Your job and my job is to really learn lesson from them and really see our life and plan our life accordingly, because you are never saved. There will always be people who will be taunting. There will always be people who will be making life difficult. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to establish the Bani Israel into a land free from all these people. And we inspired to the mother. Notice here. First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came up with a plan. And this is how the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts. Right from the baby. This is why it takes a generation to take the nation from one place to another. This is why you hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and wa awhayna ila ummi Musa, and we inspired to the mother of the Musa, suckle him, but when you fear for him, cast him into the river, and do not fear and do not grieve. Indeed, we will return him to you. Wala takhafi wala tahzani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired mother of Musa alayhi salam, let go of your baby in a river. Musa alayhi salam's mother, it was not easy for her, but she did listen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Inna radduhu ilay, I will return him to you. What do we learn here? When we raise our children just so with this intention, that they will serve us, this is not the enough intention. You have to let them go so they can serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, once they serve Allah, obviously they're going to serve you too, because now they will have the fear and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give him up. Don't worry about it. Don't fearful. Don't be grieving. Because in narad du ilay, and for you and I, there's a great lesson in here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return our children back to us with so much goodness in them. If we have the mindset to train them, to develop them, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will return him to you, and we will make him one of the messengers. And the family of Pharaoh picked him up out of the river so that he would become to them an enemy and a cause of grief. Indeed, Pharaoh and Haman and their soldiers were deliberate sinners. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite of all the planning, Fir'aun planned that we were going to kill the baby. When they started killing all the babies, guess what happened? Now they were losing the generation of the Bani Israel. And they said, if we kill all of them, then they will extinguish. And who's going to do our labor work? Because they needed labor. Who's going to clean their houses? Who's going to do the gardening for them, and who's going to do all those hard labor work of building the buildings and everything. So the ordinance was changed, and the Fir'aun came up with a new rule, and in that rule he said, 1 year we're going to kill the babies, and 1 year we're going to let them live, so the nation of the Bani Israel doesn't get extinct. So look at the human, how, you know, they sometimes they are naive, they are. How do they know that the 1 year they're going to let the baby live, then that's the year is not going to be the one that the baby is going to born, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan was to make Musa alayhi salam born in that year, even though Harun alayhi salam born in a year, he was a year older than Musa alayhi salam in that year, then there was no killing of the child. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Musa live like that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made mother of Musa give him in the river, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the hearts and eyes of the enemies blind. What do we learn here? Well, you and I, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put you in the safest position right in front of the lion too, right in front of the torturers too, right in front of the tyrants too. This is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. A baby who cannot even support himself and cannot even protect himself, baby was given in the hands of an enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the enemies blind. This is the faith, this is the yaqeen you and I need to develop. Indeed, Pharaoh and Haman and their soldiers were deliberate sinners, and the wife of Pharaoh said, he will be a comfort of the eyes, that is pleasure for me and you and for you. Do not kill him. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the love of the wife of Pharaoh in the heart of her. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything possible. If you and I think any of the enemy in our life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change their heart any moment. No matter how fierce of the enemy they are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put the love of your child in their eyes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the situation at any time. This is the second woman in the life of Musa. First thing we need to learn here is that Musa alayhi salam was tried as a baby. His trial started right at the birth time. He went through amazing trials. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of the Musa alayhi salam so many times. The first woman that helped Musa was his mother. The second woman that is helping him right now, it's the wife of Fir'aun. So what do we learn? Role of a woman is very important in the life of a man. And without the role of a pious woman, a man is nothing. This is why be like Umme Musa, so you can raise a nation who learns the value and teaches the value and pass on those values. And that is the pleasure for me and you. Do not kill him. Perhaps he may benefit us, or we may adopt him as a son, as they perceive not. You know, woman has so much power, even though she was a wife, but she actually convinced Fir'aun, a tyrant, to do this. Can you imagine how much power a woman has? And the heart of the Musa's mother became empty. I want you to highlight this ayah number 10. وَأَصْبَحَ فُعَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Meaning, the heart of the Musa's mother became empty. Imagine the baby was gone, and now she's looking outside in a river. The baby is not there, because now baby has reached on the other side of the bank, and that's where the enemies were. So obviously, mother is going to feel empty. What happened to my baby? Notice here what Allah's mother is saying. She was about to disclose the matter concerning him, and had we not bound fast her heart. Notice the word here, unrobatna, على قلبها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold her fast, her hand, her heart. What does it mean? Meaning when we feel really desperate, when we feel the really empty, when we feel there is nothing going to work and you feel that everything is gone from your hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold the heart of a believer. We not bound fast her heart that she would be of the believers. So, lesson for us. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said to his sister, follow him. This is the third woman in the life of Musa alayhi salam. What did she say? Follow him. So she watched him from a distance while they perceived not. Here we learn the importance of our siblings too. Having siblings is a blessing. Siblings should have the love for each other. Here her and Musa alayhi salam's sister became a means for her mother to get to him. Be a sister who loves their brother. You know why? Because this love is irreplaceable. So if you have any kind of grudge or resentment with your brothers and sisters amongst each other, clear the hearts now, because this is a beautiful relationship we should be nurturing and developing. Regardless, in this time, if we may be living far away to each other, we still should be loving each other. Why? Because this is the relationship made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we had prevented from him all wet nurses before. Notice here, Musa alayhi salam, being a baby, and babies, you know, when they're hungry, they cry a lot. Imagine the Musa alayhi salam didn't drink milk for 3 days. Imagine if the baby starts crying, what do people do? Right away, give the baby to the mother. The baby is hungry. And mother takes the baby and she nurses him and the baby gets quiet. And you know, when you're living together, sometimes your mother-in-law or other people or even your husband says, take out the baby, he's crying. And now everybody gets worried. Imagine this baby, Musa alayhi salam, cried for 3 full days and he did not took milk of any mother. You know why? Because Allah's mother I promised the mother of Musa alayhi salam that I will give your baby back to you. So she said, who is she? The sister of Musa alayhi salam. Shall I direct you to a household that will be responsible for him, for you, while they are to him for his upbringing sincere? Meaning, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the means to make things work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best planner, and he planned this thing for them. So we restored him. Notice here, فَرَضَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept his promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the baby Musa to the mother, and she might be content and not grieve, and that she would know that the promises of Allah is true. What do we learn here? Can we highlight this for ourselves? أَنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Meaning, whatever promises we've been learning in this Quran about the Day of Judgment, about the deeds, about everything, everything is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are true and he fulfills them as the time is right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned the baby to the Musa's mother. And notice here, Musa's mother didn't have to go pick up the to meet the baby. Baby was brought home to the mother of Musa. This is how beautiful Iman is. When Iman is there, when reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, when the belief on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everything. That the promise of Allah is true, but most of them, that is people, do not know. We can make dua to ourselves right now that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me ability to truly understand the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every one will come true. And what do we learn from this paragraph? Allah tested mother of Musa, and so we all are tested in some way or the other. Allah hold on to the heart of the believer. So if you and I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should never be scared of it. And Allah saves whomever he wills in the midst of an enemy. Allah can save Musa alayhi salam. Allah can save us too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts love in the hearts of enemies. So never be scared and just be confident and develop taqwa, because it is the taqwa that changes the situation of the people. Allah raised the baby Musa in the palaces of Fir'aun. Why? Because this Musa needed to get the education in such a way that he is confident adult and he had to fight back later in his life. But of course, he didn't know that then. Musa's mother didn't know that then. And if mother of the Musa would not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Musa would not have been the way he was. And then be a mother who is ready to sacrifice. This is the lesson we and you and I can learn for ourselves. Majority doesn't believe in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, make us believe in your promises. And be a sister like Musa, who's always there to help their brothers. If your brothers are having in some kind of a thing that maybe they don't pray in a masjid, or maybe they smoke, or something like that, be a sister who can help your brothers. Invite them to Quran, invite their family, love their family. You know why? Because they're your brother's family. They provide comfort to your brother. Don't hate your sister-in-laws. Love their kids, because if you are... if you love your brother, then you should love their kids too, and bring them to Quran, talk to them, message them, hug them, because this is the best relationship of an aunt with a brother's sons and daughters, inshallah. Next is ayah number 14 to 21, Musa alayhi salam's teenage. Now his early life is done. Now we're learning his teenager onwards. What do we say? What do we learn? And we attained his full strength and was mentally mature. We bestowed upon him judgment and knowledge. He was given what? Hukman wa ilman. May Allah accept and give us hukman and ilm too. Hukm is sunnah and ilm is knowledge, right? The Quran. Hukman knowledge. And thus do we reward the doers. And he entered the city at a time of inattention by its people and found therein two men fighting, one from his faction and one from among his enemy. And the one from his faction called for help to him against the one whom his enemy. So Musa struck him and unintentionally killed him. Musa alayhi salam said, "This is from the work of Shaitan, indeed. He is in a manifest misleading enemy." What do we learn? Musa alayhi salam was a strong man. And when he was passing by somewhere and he hit this person, and it was like some healing, but he didn't mean to kill it. It was not an intentional killing, but he ended up killing anyway. So what do we learn here? Sometimes it happens. Sometimes people can make mistakes unintentionally. So if unintentionally you make a mistake, you ask forgiveness. It's okay. And Musa alayhi salam did so. And he said, "My Lord, indeed, I have wronged myself." This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. When you make mistake, intentionally or unintentionally, right away admit the mistake, and that's all. That's all you have to do, and then move on. So this ayah number 16 is a beautiful dua. What is the dua? Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfirli faghfara lahu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. He said, "My Lord, indeed, I have wronged myself, so forgive me." And he forgave him. Indeed, he is the forgiving, the merciful. And he said, "My Lord, for the favor you bestowed upon me, I will never be an assistant to the criminal." See, he's now saying that now that I have made a mistake, now I am reforming and I'm not going to do that again. And this is what the tawbah is, right? And he became inside the city, fearful and anticipating exposure, when suddenly the one who sought his help the previous day cried out to him. Once again, Musa said to him, "Indeed, you are an evident persistent deviator." Meaning, the other day Musa made mistake, but now the same person was calling him again. This time Musa alayhi salam said, "I'm not going to listen to him," because remember, he made the awe and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "I'm not going to do the same mistake again of killing," right? And when he wanted to strike the one who was the enemy to both of them, said, "Oh Musa, do you intend to kill me as you killed someone yesterday?" Look, the same guy who helped him yesterday, he turned against him. "You only want to be a tyrant. You only want to be a tyrant in the land and do not want to be of the amenders." This is how people are. When you put them favor and they turn back on you. So never expect anything from people. And a man came from the farthest end of the city, running. He said, O Musa, indeed, the eminent ones are conferring over you, intending to kill you. So leave the city. Indeed, I am to you of the sincere adviser. Minan Nasuhin. What do we learn here? When people around you may not be with you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends help from faraway people. When the people around you may not be listening to whatever you have to say, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces them and bring the people from far away to help you out. In this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did the same. And so he left it fearful and anticipating apprehension. He said, My Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people. Because now he was told that they're planning to kill you, so you should leave the city. And you know, this is true then, and this was true then, and this is true now too. Because if you leave the jurisdiction of that government, then they cannot catch you, right? So today is also the same thing. They say if you're within the laws of the land, then they have to fulfill this law. When you escape from that law of the land where the it ends, then they cannot come and get you. This is why all these asylums are given, and this is why they see the also the sea when people travel. When they reach a certain limit of the sea, then the government cannot catch them because now they're outside of the city limits or something. So what do we learn from this paragraph? We learn that during hardship, call Allah only. And check before helping someone because you don't know who what you're getting into. Then don't just excitedly get up and do something because now, later sometimes, it will be a means of regret. And know the tricks of shaitan, right? And the odds of Musa alayhi salam are beautiful. Admit the mistake. It's okay. People can make mistakes. You are and I are not free of mistakes, right? Allah sends help from wherever He wills. Sometimes you have to go with the flow, meaning things can happen and you just have to do it. And unexpected can happen. Musa alayhi salam had to leave this place right away in a hurry. He didn't have time to plan for it. If he would have, then he would have been caught. So it's sometimes in your life the same thing happens. Sometimes you have to make quick decisions and you have no time to prepare. And sometimes it is better for you. So unexpected can happen. So just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you make quick decisions according to the situation that you're in. And inshallah, let's move on to the next paragraph, ayah number 22 to 28. Musa alayhi salam was blessed in new land. This section has so many lessons to learn, inshallah. ولما توجه تلقاء مدين قال أسعى ربي أن يهديني سواء السبيل. Now Musa alayhi salam is entering into the next section of his life, and that is where he's going to get married. So, and when he directed himself towards Madian, he said, perhaps my Lord would guide me to the sound way. You know, there was no GPS system there. But Musa alayhi salam relied upon what? Did he know that which direction does he need to go? No. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide me. Which direction do I need to go? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put his feet towards Madian. This is what you and I need in our life. When we don't know what to do next, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, I don't know. Should I do this or should I do that or not? Should I go or should I not? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ يَهْدِي يَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Oh, my Lord will guide me to the sound way. And we just have to have a mindset like that, right? So, and when he came to the water, that is well of Madian, he found through a crowd, there a crowd of people watering their flocks, and he found aside from them two women holding back their flock. He said, what is your circumstance? They said, we do not water until the shepherds dispatch their flocks, and our father is an old man. Here we learn that these two girls who had their flock and they're waiting for the men to go away so they can really feed their flock. And you know what? Here we learn the characteristics of these girls. They did not try to intermingle and put up friendship hand towards them, you know, and then try to talk to them. And you know, when you talk to them, you become friends, and then you say, you know what, feed our goats too. And they would do it too because men love talking to women, right? So these two men were very shy and very modest, and they kept their modesty by not intermingling. Here is a great lesson for us. Teach ourselves and our generations to come that moderation and distance is very important. This shows their character also. So he watered for them. What does it show? This shows the character of Musa alayhi salam. He took their flocks and he watered it for them. Then he went back to a shade. What does it tell us? That he did not try to say, so, what's going on? So, what's your name? So, what do you do? And where do you go? And where do you live? And start conversation. Today, we see exactly how it starts. First, in some setting like MSC or something, people try to help each other. And the next thing is then they start questioning each other. And the next thing is they said, you know what? Let's have a meeting together. And the next thing happens is a friendship. So, Musa alayhi salam didn't do anything. He just helped them, did the business, and walked out. And said, my Lord, indeed, I am poor. Whatever good you would send down to me in need. Ayah number 24, this is a beautiful dua. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. What are you asking in this dua? You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I don't know. I am just like a beggar. I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what to do next and where to go. What am I going to do? How am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? You know, sometimes in our life also situations like this come where we are so helpless that we have no words. We have no idea what to ask. Think of yourself when you say this dua of Musa alayhi salam, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, I am helpless. I am in need of anything that you give me. I have no idea exactly what to ask and how to ask. So, in the situations when you have no word, say this dua. And any time you can say this dua, because we just don't know what is good for us and what is not. Sometimes we ask for things which are not good. And sometimes we have too many things to ask because we are going through too many hard problems in our life, right? So instead of naming each and every problem, oh Allah, I have this problem, take care of this, and that problem, take care of this. No, just say, Rabbi inni lima anzalta min khayrin faqir. My Lord, indeed, I am for whatever good you would send down to me in need. Meaning, you decide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't know. Isn't it beautiful? Instead of asking your list of the du'as, you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're the one who decide for me. I don't know what is right and what is wrong for me. I don't know what to do next. I have no idea which direction should I take in the later of my life. Right now I'm sitting happily, but tomorrow I don't know what's going to happen. What am I going to do in the month of Ramadan? What am I going to do after the month of Ramadan? I have no idea. Right? So it's such a beautiful dua. And the one of the two women came to him walking with shyness. Notice the characteristics of these girls. She said, indeed, my father invites you that he may reward you for having watered for us. So when he came to him and related to him the story, he said, fear not, you have escaped from the wrongdoing people. So when this girl came and told him to come and my father's calling you so he can reward you. So Musa alayhi salam went with her. What happened next? Musa alayhi salam, she had told him exactly, truthful. This shows that Musa alayhi salam was a truthful person too. He didn't hide that who is he. He was a fugitive. He killed a person and he was kind of like a criminal if you think about it, no? Yes, so he told all the truth regardless. You know, sometimes in our lives we're scared and we try to hide. No, what they're going to think of? Who cares what they're going to think of? Right? Always be truthful. So Musa alayhi salam was truthful and honest. This really inspired the father of the girl that he should give the hand of her girls to him. So what do we learn here? That he said, fear not, you have escaped from a wrongdoing people. Meaning he appreciated his being truthful. One of the women said, oh my father, hire him. Indeed, the best one you can hire is the strong and the trustworthy. How did she know that he was strong? Because he helped and he moved, lift the stone and he helped the flock feeding. And then Ami, because he did not start chatting with them, conversation with them, and he actually just helped them and didn't even ask for any money and went back. This shows the characteristics of Musa alayhi salam. Such a beautiful thing we learn here, right? So what do we learn? First thing we learn here is that Musa alayhi salam was truthful. Second thing we learn here is that a woman can actually talk to her parents if she likes somebody. And the third thing we learn here is that the father, it is okay for a father, the girl's father, to propose, because this is what we're going to learn next year. He said, indeed, I wish to wed you, one of these. He is talking, meaning narration say the name of the father is Shoaib. Well, whether it's the same Shoaib or another Shoaib, this is for us to not to worry about it. So the father asked Musa alayhi salam. Because when the girl said that you can hire him, notice here, you cannot keep the unmarried man in your home if you have daughters in your home. In the name of cousins, we do that today. In the name of friend's son, we do that today. We cannot do that. If you have girls in the house, then don't let the other man live in the house. Yes, they can visit him for the time being, but not let them stay, because this causes fitna. And this is one of the things we should avoid, to avoid later into a bigger problem. So he said, I wish to wed you, one of these, my two daughters, on the condition that you serve me for 8 years. But if you complete 10, it will be as a favor from you. And I do not wish to put you in difficulty. You will find me, if Allah wills, from among the righteous. What do we learn here? Father, the girl's father is proposing a man. Number one thing, it is perfectly okay. Today in our culture, it is not considered the right thing to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this example in Quran. How can it be wrong, right? So it's okay if you have some candidate in your eyes that you think that is suitable for your daughters. It's okay to propose. And what else? The haq mahar for the aqmar, they came up with what? Because remember, Musa alayhi salam didn't have anything. So the haq mahar was not in the cash. It was in the form of service. He had to serve them for 8 years. Or if it was, choice was given that if he does it 10, then it's okay too. Musa alayhi salam said, that established between me and you, meaning he agreed with his contract terms, whichever of the two terms I complete, there is no injustice to me, and Allah over what he say is witness. Now here, notice one more thing. Father was giving her daughter's, his daughter's hand to Musa alayhi salam based on what? Did he see Musa alayhi salam's wealth? Or did he see status? Or did he see his education? Or did he see that he has a job or not? If he were to see all these four things, he would not offer her, offer him the hand of his daughter. So what did he see then? He saw that he was a pious man, trustworthy man. Today, if proposal like this come for your daughter, would you give your daughter's hands in the man like that? Think about it. Musa alayhi salam was fugitive. Musa alayhi salam was a criminal. Musa alayhi salam just did a murder, and he was a runaway, and he had no money, and he had no status, and he had no wealth, and he had no support system, yet he was very trustworthy person. Lesson for you and I. When we are looking for spouses for our daughters, what should we look for? We should look for trustworthiness, amana, the character. And you know what? When we don't look for this, and when we get our daughters married in the name of green card, in the name of status, in the name of looks, in the name of high business, in the name of degree, and later when the problem happens during marriage, we say, why is that? So the first thing we need to look for is character. If character is there, if iman is there, the rest will come anyway. And this is exactly what it happened in the case of Musa alayhi salam. So what do we learn here? Musa said, this is established, meaning he accepted the term. So what do we learn? Musa alayhi salam asked this beautiful dua that you and I can ask. And father of the daughter can propose a guy too. And the haqmer can be in the form of other than money. And then raise your daughter with haya, because this is what we see, the characteristics of those girls. And were full of haya, the modesty. And we learn all more details, inshallah, in that we will we know that how they actually walked. In the next paragraph, we learn about 29 to 42, back to Egypt. Now, the next phase of life of Musa alayhi salam is starting. So, what do we see here? Let's see. And when Musa had completed the term, notice the characteristics of Musa. He did not say after 2, 3, 4 years, I'm done, I'm going to take my daughter, what are you going to do? No. Musa alayhi salam committed. He was the man of the word, and he actually kept the commitment and was traveling with his family. He perceived from direction of the mount of a fire. He said to his family, stay here. Indeed, I have perceived a fire. Perhaps I will bring you from there some information or burning wood from the fire, and you may warm yourself. Notice here, Musa alayhi salam being a husband here, a serving husband. He's taking care of the wife. And he didn't say to the wife, go and get the groceries for me. Go find out. I'm tired. No. This is the characteristics of a trustworthy man. He takes care of the wife. And narrations tells us that his wife was pregnant at the time too. But when he came to it, it was called for the right side of the valley in the blessed part. For what? From the tree. O Musa, indeed, I am Allah. Anallahu Rabbul Alameen. Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Imagine the feeling, what Musa alayhi salam must be feeling at the time. The shivering he must be having. Because it was just an amazing thing. I always wonder, you know, let's meet dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a day of judgment, when we meet with Musa alayhi salam, I want to ask Musa alayhi salam, how did you feel at the time when you heard the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself? And you know what? For him, this was a call. Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there in this valley. For us, you know where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us and we talk to Him? In our salah. The minute you say Allahu Akbar, you are in a zone of talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your salah come to life. And he was told, throw down your staff. But when he saw it writhing as if it was a snake, he turned in flight and did not return. Allah said, O Musa, approach and fear not. Indeed, you are of the secure. Insert your hand into the opening of the garment, of your garment. It will come out white, without disease, and draw in your arm close to you as prevention from fear. For those are two proofs from your Lord to Pharaoh and establishment. Indeed, they have been a people defiantly disobedient. This event took place when Musa alayhi salam was completed the term and he was going back from Madian to Egypt. On our way back to Egypt, this stop came in the middle and this is exactly where it happened. He said, my Lord, indeed, I killed from among them someone and I fear that they will kill me even after 10 years or 8 years, whatever the term was. Musa alayhi salam was still remember this sin of him. And it was not even sin, it was just a mistake, right? And my brother Harun is more fluent than me in tongue, so send him with me as support, verifying me. Indeed, I fear that they will deny me. Allah said, we will strengthen your arm through your brother and grant you both supremacy, so they will not reach you. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us strength with our family in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be through our signs, you and those who follow you will be the predominant ones. But when Musa came to them with our signs as clear evidences, they said, this is not except invented magic, and we have not heard of this religion among our forefathers. And Musa said, my Lord is more knowing that than we are you of those of who has come with guidance from him and to whom will be succession in the home. Indeed, wrongdoers do not succeed. And Pharaoh said, O eminent ones, I have not known you to have a god other than me. Then ignite for me, O Haman, a fire upon the clay, and make for me a tower that I may look at the God of Moses. And indeed, I do not think he is among the liars. Character like Musa, character like Haman and Pharaoh will always be there, who will make fun of thee. And he was arrogant. Notice here, this is why Fir'aun was not able to get the truth, and magicians did, because of the arrogance. He and his soldiers in the land without right, and they thought that they would not be returned to us. So we took him and his soldiers and threw him into the sea. So he, how was the end of the wrongdoers? And we made them leaders inviting to the fire. And on the day of resurrection, they will not be held. And we caused to overtake them in this world a curse. And on the day of resurrection, they will be the despised. Fir'aun is accursed in this dunya. His mummy is actually preserved, so we can learn some ibrah and take some lessons from it. So what do we learn in this paragraph? A husband takes care of a family. For a believer, the salah is a conversation with Allah. In the beginning of journey, things are hard. Once you come all the way in, things become easy. Brothers are blessings. Love them. Allah forgives and accepts, right? Ayah number 43 to 60, we learn following the desires lead to destruction. Very, very important lesson from these ayahs, inshallah. وَلَقَدْ أَعْتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى وَالصَّعَائِرَ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And we gave Musa and the scripture after we had destroyed the former generations and enlightenment for the people and guidance and mercy that they might be reminded. And O Prophet, were not on the western side of the mount when we revealed to Musa the command, and you were not among the witnesses, meaning all of these stories were shared to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through revelation. He was not there because this happened long time before, right? But we produced many generations after Musa, and prolonged was their duration, and you were not a resident among the people of Madian reciting to them our verses, but we were senders of this message. And you were not at the side of the mount when we called Musa, but were sent as a mercy from your Lord to warn a people to whom no warner had come before you, that they might be reminded. And if not the disaster should strike them for what their hands put forth of sins, and they would say, our Lord, why did you not send us a messenger so we could have followed your verses and been among the believers? But when the truth came to them from us, they said, why was not given like this, like that which was given to Musa? Did they not disbelieve in that which was given to Musa before? They said, they were but two works of magic supporting each other, and indeed we were in both disbelievers. Say, then bring a scripture from Allah which is more guiding than either of them, then I may follow it if you should be truthful. But if they do not respond to you, then know that they only follow their own desires, and who is more stray than one who follows his desire? And without guidance from Allah, indeed, Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. What do we learn in this ayah number 50? Following your desires leads to destruction. And we have learned yesterday also, obeying your desire is like worshipping your desires. Today also, you know why? Because it is the desire that keeps us not coming forward. It is the desire, that personal needs, that personal instincts that keeps us away from what is the right thing to do. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us control our desires. And we have repeatedly conveyed to them the word that is the Quran, that they might be reminded. Quran is there, the guidance is there, but the desire takes over. This is why this Quran goes in the closet and it never opens up. Those to whom we gave the scripture before it, they are believers in it. And when it is recited to them, they say, we have believed in it. Indeed, it is the truth from our Lord. Indeed, we were even before it Muslims, that is, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those will be given their reward twice for what they patiently endured, and because they avoid evil through goodness. And from what we have provided them, they spend. How many qualities are listed in here? They are the one given the double the reward. Why? Because of where they actually avert evil through good. What do we learn here? Bil hasanati sayyi'a, meaning when somebody is doing wrong to you, you do right to them. When somebody is yelling at you, you don't respond to them. When somebody is kicking you out of their home, you say, alhamdulillah, I will be good person to you. And this is how iman grows, and this is how Islam spreads. Today, Muslim Ummah can only act upon this one act. The fabric of this Ummah would be very different. And when they hear ill speech, they turn away from it. Meaning, they don't be the part of the conversation. And for us are our deeds, and for you are your deeds. Peace will be upon you. We seek not the ignorant. How beautiful of the qualities. May Allah give us all these qualities. Indeed, O Prophet, you do not guide whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills. And He is most knowing of the rightly guided. And they, that is the Quraysh, say, if we were to follow the guidance with you, we would be swept from our land. Have we not established for them a safe sanctuary to which are brought the fruits of all the things they provision for us? But most of them do not know. And how many a city we have destroyed that was insolent in its way of living. And those are their dwellings which have not been inhabitants after them except briefly. And it is we who were inheritors. And never would your Lord have destroyed the cities until he had sent to their mother, that is the principal city, a messenger reciting to them our verses, and we would not destroy the cities except while their people were wrongdoers. As long as people have someone good in there, Allah SWT doesn't destroy the city. And Allah's sunnah is to send a messenger in a capital of the city, so from there the message can transfer quickly. And whatever thing you people have been given, it is only for the enjoyment of the worldly life, and it is adornment. And what is with Allah is better and more lasting. So will you not use reason? Meaning Allah SWT is saying, why don't you come back to Allah SWT? So what did we learn in this paragraph? Allah prolongs time in this dunya. Take advantage of the opportunity that we're given now. And who is more straight than the one who follows his desire without Allah's guidance from Allah? Meaning, they only follow not the Quran. They follow themselves, not the Quran. Do sabr, enjoin good, repel evil. Do not participate in vain talks. This world and everything in it is temporary, including me. Insolence brings destructions. Ayah number 61 to 75. Allah is the planner of the universe. Then is he whom we have promised a good promise, which he will meet, that is obtained like he, for whom we provided enjoyment of the worldly life, but then he is on the day of resurrection among those presented for punishment in hell. I want you to take 5 second pause and think about what we're learning. And one of the day he will call them and say, where are my partners which you used to claim? Those upon whom the word will have come into an effect will say, our Lord, those are the ones we led to error. We led them to error just as we were in error. We declare our disassociation from them to you. They did not use to worship, that is, obey us. And it will be said to invoke your partners, and they will invoke them, but they will not respond to them, and they will see the punishment if only they had followed guidance. And mention the day he will call them and say, what did you answer the messengers? But the information will be unapparent to them that day, so they will not be able to ask anyone another. And but as for one who had repented, believed, and done righteous deed, always Allah SWT talks about three things: repented, believed, and followed by righteousness. It is expected, that is promised by Allah, that he will be among the successful ones. And your Lord creates what he wills and chooses. Not for them was the choice. Exalted is Allah and high above what they associate with him. And your Lord knows what their breast conceals and what they declare. And he is Allah. There is no deity except him. Huwa Allahu la ilaha illa huwa lahul hamdu. What do we learn? Oneness of Allah is the problem, right? That's what they didn't expect it. Yes, they believe in Allah, but not in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To him do all praise in the first life and in the hereafter, and he is the final decision, and to him you will be returned. Say, have you considered if Allah should make for you the night continuous until the day of resurrection? What deity other than Allah could bring you light? Then will you not hear? Say, have you considered if Allah should make for you the day continuous until the day of the resurrection? What deity will other than Allah could bring you a night in which you may rest? Then will you not see? You know, in this dunya also, some places up in the northern areas, like where you see the northern lights, like such as northern part of the Norway, you would see that the day doesn't end. And this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us night. Today, people are abusing and misusing the night by staying up at night and by sleeping the day. So what do we learn here? These blessings are blessings which we don't even consider as blessings. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell night not to come, what are we going to do? And out of His mercy, He made for you the night and the day, and that you may rest therein. And by day, seek from His bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. Today, the lifestyle is opposite. People like to stay up at night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, night is made for resting. Itaskanu. To feel, to rest, to rejuvenate, so you can do work in the morning. So what do we learn from this lesson? And we will extract from every nation a witness and say, produce for yourself, produce your proof, and they will know, then they will know that the truth belongs to Allah, and lost from them is that which they used to invent. This life is temporary. Focus on Akhirah. Allah's promises are true. Don't blame others for your own mistakes. Allah accepts repentance, and we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So listen to Allah's kalam, Allah's word now. Ayah number 76 to 82. He was rich, but he lost it all. You know why? Because he had insolence. He was insolent in his character. This character that we're about to learn, we have to find around us all the time. We see this character, that people who are like him, and this is causing self-destruction. Ayah number 76. Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa. Indeed, Qarun was from the people of Musa, but he tyrannized them, and we gave him of treasures whose keys would burden a band of strong men. Thereupon his people said to him, do not exult. Indeed, Allah does not like the exultant. But what did he do? He was so super rich, and he was one of the characters in the time of Musa alayhi salam. They say the keys of his treasure were so many that the camels would carry his keys and it would not be enough. Today, all this is trimmed down to in one credit card, the plastic credit card that we have in our wallet. And because of that credit card, the insolency comes in our nature too. People like to show off. We live in a culture where everybody's showing off. They don't care if they're suffering themselves or not. They just love to show off. And this is what it caused the destruction to this richest person of the time. He went under. He was drowned. He was actually buried in the earth. What do we learn here? Inshallah, let's go to the ayah and then we'll talk about a little bit. Indeed, Qarun was from the people of Musa, but he tyrannized them, and we gave him of treasures whose keys would burden a band of strong men. Thereupon his people said to him, do not exult. Indeed, Allah does not like the exultant, but see through that which Allah has given you, the home of the hereafter. What do we learn here? Even though he was advised by people around him, but did he took the advice? No. Because you know what he was trying to do? He was showing off. He had this thing that I am better. Look. And he would actually have this feeling in his heart that people are impressed by me. When people have these characteristics to impress others, this is the worst thing they can do. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away everything from them. And then, do not forget your share of the world and do good as Allah has done good to you. Meaning, if Allah has done good to you, do good to them. That's the bottom line. What you learn from is this. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless you and blessings are good for you. But use those blessings for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if you do good, that good will come back to you. Because, and desire not and corruption in the land. Indeed, Allah does not like this, like the corruptors. In this just one ayah, we learn so many things. Number one, insolence is highly disliked. It causes self-destruction. What is insolence? Insolence is basically something like showing off, but it is more than that. And you show off, it makes you feel so good that it makes you want to do it again. You're always worrying about others. You're always, your lifestyle is just to accumulate more so you can show off more. And this type of character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa asin kama asanallahu ilayk, and do good as Allah has done good to you. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you too many blessings, do good. Use it for the good thing. Because now Allah has given you, you should give back to the community. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. What do we learn here? And yet do not forget your share of the world. Meaning, spend in this world only what is needed for this world. And spend more in the next world, because this is where you're going to live for the rest of your life. Think of the 20-80 ratio, right? People spend 80% for this dunya, maybe 20% for the akhirah, even if that much. But it should be the other way around. Spend 20% for this dunya and 80% for the akhirah, because that's where you're going to be living more, right? So this ratio and proportion of our lifestyle is very wrong. We really need to figure this out. What is it exactly? How much should we spend in this dunya? And how much should we spend in the akhirah? And what else we learn in here? وَلَا يُلَقَاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. Do sabr on temptation of this dunya. Because why? Because if you try to follow every temptation of this dunya, it will never be enough. We learn from a hadith that the mouth of an Adam is on, son of Adam is not closed until it has dust on it. Meaning until the person dies, he's always wanting more and more and more. And this rut never stops. So what do we learn here? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, be grateful and spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and figure out what is the ratio and proportion of your life should be. Only then you can actually proceed further. And the wealth is to be spent wisely. It is something that is a gift that is given to you and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How should you spend is how your future lies about it, right? So if you spend in the ways that you are actually supporting and buying the ticket from the concert that are coming up, that means you're supporting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you, what did you do with your wealth? Oh, did you watch that entertainment show that you're not supposed to be doing? Well, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're doing and where you're spending your money. May Allah really truly make us understand and make us away from this characteristics that the one we are learning in ayah number 77. And he said, I was only given it because of knowledge I have. Notice here, he said, I am so rich because of the know-how that I have. And did he not know that Allah had destroyed before him generation of generations those who were greater than him in power and greater in accumulation of wealth, but the criminals about their sins will not be asked. So he came out before his people in his adornment, meaning he was all dressed up. Those who desired the worldly life said, oh, would you that we had like what was given to Qarun, meaning other people were feeling bad. Look how blessed he is. Indeed, he is one of the great fortune. Obviously, when you're going to show off people are going to be jealous of you. This is exactly what happened to him. But those who had been given knowledge said, woe to you. The reward of Allah is better for he who believes and does righteousness, and none are granted it except the patient ones. And we caused the earth to swallow him. Notice here. Where did his insolence took him? What happened to his wealth? What happened? Did it save him? No. So why people show off? Why people are always worried about keeping up with the Joneses? Why people worrying about that I should buy this thing and that thing and that this car and the bigger and the next one? Yes, you can buy it for your own good. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, nothing wrong with it. But you should have an intention for your own comfort, not to show off. His intention was not his own comfort. His intention was to insolency, show off. So much so that others get jealous and others would want to have the same thing that you do. So what happened to him? And we caused the earth to swallow him and his home. And there was for him no company to aid him other than Allah. Nor was he of those who could defend themselves. And those who had wished for his position the previous day began to say, oh, how Allah extends provision to whom he wills and of his servants and restricts it. If not that Allah has conferred favor on us, he would have caused it to swallow us too. Oh, how the disbelievers do not succeed. Now those people were given the chance. They saw what was the ending of the Qarun and they realized it. Problem with us is we don't get to realize it until we come to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live the life of our choices, not even really realizing it, that what are we doing and where are we following. In the next paragraph, ayah number 83 to 88, we learn who deserves the home in Akhirah. The home, that home of the hereafter, we assign to those who do not desire exaltedness upon the earth or corruption. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make this Jannah for anybody and everybody. Imagine the criminal who did so many criminal crimes. Do you think they'll make it to the same Jannah as you do? Imagine if the person is living this life and breaking all the hajj and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll get into the same Jannah as you do. Imagine a person who is actually hurting somebody, they'll get into the same Jannah as you do. No, it's not going to happen. This is what we learn. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلَهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Meaning, this Jannah is not for everybody. It's for those who actually try to earn this Jannah. Jannah is very expensive. Not everybody will get in because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very just. So, who do not desire the exaltedness upon the earth or corruption. These two things should not be in person's personality. And the best outcome is for the righteous people. What did we learn here? O Allah, make us righteous and take away all these bad qualities from among our ummah. And whoever comes on the Day of Judgment with a good deed will have better than it. And whoever comes with an evil deed, then those who did evil deeds will not be recompensed except as much as what they used to do. Indeed, O Prophet, he would impose upon you the Quran, will take you back to a place of return. Say, my Lord is most knowing of who brings guidance and who is in clear error. And you were not expecting that the book would be conveyed to you, but it is the mercy from your Lord. So do not be an assistant to the disbelievers. Highlight this ayah number 86. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is conveying this story and character like Qarun. And can we learn lesson from this? Can we change our lifestyle? Now on, if we do anything, if we have a beautiful car, use it for yourself. Enjoy it and be grateful. Have this intention. I am enjoying this car because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, but not to show off. Wear fancy clothes. It's okay if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, but do it within the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to show off that I am the person, nobody's wearing clothes like me, and I am the best designer, and I have the best taste, and I have the best choice. Do wear jewelry, but wear it for yourself, you know, not for other people, because then when you're showing off, look, I have so many jewelry, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the opportunity to even wear those jewelries from you. So it is something we need to be careful about. And never let them avert you from the verses of Allah after they have been revealed to you. And invite people to your Lord and never be of those who associate others with Allah. And do not invoke with Allah another deity. There is no deity except Him. Everything will be destroyed except His face. What do we learn here? We are all going away. Only Allah stays here forever. His is the judgment, and to Him we will be returned. What a beautiful lesson in the last paragraph. May Allah truly make us understand and really value these lessons, because many people out there, they will live their life throughout, they will never find out. Let's listen to the recitation of the next surah and then we'll continue from there, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يعلمن الكاذبين أم حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله By bi'idhnillah, we're able to finish Surah Al-Qasas. Wasn't it a beautiful surah? This surah is something that we can really learn a lot about Sirah of Musa alayhi salam. How was his character? What he went through from the time he was born and until the time he got prophethood. And after that, his trial never ended. He was always going through trials. From the trials of his life, from the trials of his people. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the story of Qarun, this character, and the Haman, and these Pirans, all these characters we have to watch out for so we don't become like them. And now the beautiful surah we learn here, Al-Ankabut. Ankabut means web, right? The web of the spider, spider the web, right? So here we learn a lot of things about Iman, the faith, and the trials that comes with the faith. In Ayah number 1 to 13, we learn that Jannah is not given without efforts and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jannah is something that we have to strive for. Let's go to the first ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim. Do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried? Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking question that people just assume that they will have a happy-go-lucky life and they will never be tried. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares all these stories, the characters that we can learn from the history so we do not do the same mistake and copy and repeat the same mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, why? How come people are still thinking that they can live this life without any problems and Allah will not try you at all? وَلَقَدْ فَتَّنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ But we have certainly tried those before them and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful and He will surely make evident the liars. Or do those who do evil deeds think that they can overturn? That is, escape us. Evil is what they judge. Meaning, people can think whatever they want. They will never be able to escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever should hope for the meeting with Allah. This is beautiful ayah, ayah number 5. مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Whoever should hope for the meeting with Allah, indeed the term decreed by Allah is coming, and He is the hearing, the knowing. Close your eyes for 3 seconds. Try to think. You are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how are you feeling? What is your condition of your heart? Are you feeling satisfied and happy that you tried whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do, or you are feeling scared? And whoever strives only strives for the benefit of himself. Indeed, Allah is free from need of the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need you and I. It is we who need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah number 6, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you have to try, if you have to strive against your nafs, if you have to really work hard to tame your nafs down, because your nafs keeps telling you to do this and do that, and you are trying, no, I'm not going to do that. So rest assured, this is for your own good, because Allah doesn't need us. Allah can replace it. There are thousands, millions, trillions, gazillions of creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really does need us? He doesn't. And you know when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah in your salah every day, I bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs our witnesses? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs our, us to tell him that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? He doesn't. Then why this thing is a mandatory part of the salah? Do you know why? Because it's for our own good. Allah doesn't need our witness. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is an honor given to us in Salah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go ahead and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, so I can give you reward. What do we learn from this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on giving opportunities after opportunities to really earn some good deeds. Allah does not need a single deed of yours and I. If you choose to go the other way, your choice, go ahead. You're free to do that. If you choose to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're free to do that. There is no compulsion in that. Make decisions wisely. And those who believe and do righteous deeds, we will surely remove from their misdeeds, from them their misdeeds, and we will surely reward them according to the best of what they used to do. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to come back to Him so He can reward us. In this dunya, just hold on a little bit, only few years. Just a little bit and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting. He will reward you tremendously. And we will enjoin upon men goodness to parents. But if they endeavor to make you associate with me, then that of which you have no knowledge, do not obey them. To me is your return, and I will inform you about what you used to do. This ayah was revealed about this one special Sahabi, and he accepted Islam, and his mother said, you know what, until you come back from Islam, I will not eat. She went into a boycott, and she would not eat, and he was so worried that something's going to happen to his mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. Yes, your parent deserves your good attitude, but when it comes to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should not obey them. Here we learn the limit that Allah comes first. Love of Allah and love of Rasul comes first. And if your family, if your parents are telling you otherwise, you don't have to listen to them. And those who believe and do righteous deed, we will surely admit them among the righteous into the paradise. And of the people are some who say, we believe in Allah, but when one of them is harmed for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he considers the trial that is harm of the people as if it were the punishment of Allah. But if the victory comes from your Lord, they say, indeed, we were with you. Is not Allah most knowing of what is within the breast of the world? People like to live dual personality, say something or do something. They are on your side when something goodness comes, and they take all the blame upon themselves. They take all the goodness upon themselves when they do something good. So here we learn the characteristics of a munafiq. May Allah save us all from these characteristics. And Allah will surely make evident those who believe, and He will surely make evident the hypocrites. And those who disbelieve say to those who believe, follow our way and we will carry your sins, but they will not carry anything of their sins. Indeed, they are liars, but they will surely carry their own burdens and other burdens along with their burdens, and they will surely be questioned on the day of resurrection about what they used to invent. What did we learn in this paragraph? Trials will come. Seek refuge in Allah. Iman keeps you going. When you go through some trials, only Iman can keep you going from this. And weaker Iman makes a person even weaker upon receiving trials. And he starts complaining. Let's work on our Iman. And parents deserve kindness, but do not obey if they ask you to do something that is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 14 to 22, we learn about istiqamah. Steadfastness of Nuh alayhi salam, and this is the only place where ayah reveals that he was given the long life. Ayah number 14, and walaqad arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi, and we certainly sent Nuh to his people, and he remained among them 1,000 years minus 50 years, and the flood seized them while they were wrongdoers. This is the only place we learn about that he was given 950 years of age. But we saved him, the companions of the ship, and we made it a sign for the worlds. And we sent Ibrahim, and he said to his people, worship Allah and fear Him. That is best for you if you should know. You only worship besides Allah idols and your produce. and you produce a falsehood. Indeed, those who worship besides Allah do not possess for you the power of provision. So seek from Allah provision and worship Him and be grateful to Him. To Him you will be returned. And if you people deny the message already, nations before you have denied, and there is not upon the messenger except the duty of clear notification. Have they not considered how Allah begins creation and then Allah repeats it? Indeed, that for Allah is easy. Say, O Prophet, travel through the land and observe how He began creation. Then Allah will produce a final creation, that is development. Indeed, Allah over all things is competent. He punishes whom He wills, and His mercy and has mercy upon whom He wills, and to Him you will be returned. And you will not cause failure to Allah upon the earth or in the heavens, and you have not other than Allah any protector or any helper. What do we learn in this lesson? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only helper. Turn to Him only. Do not ask people to help you out. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate help through those people for you. Allah is the provider and prayer protector. Ask Allah only. And da'i's job is to notify clearly, not worry about it, whether they are listening or not. Ayah number 23 to 30, we learn the love of idols makes you hard-hearted. So what do we learn here? And the one who disbelieves in the signs of Allah and the meeting with Him, those have despaired of mercy, and they will have a painful punishment. And the answer of his, that is Ibrahim's people, was not but that they said, kill him or burn him, but Allah saved him from the fire. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. And Ibrahim said, you have only taken other than Allah idols as a bond of affection. Among you is in worldly life. Then on the day of resurrection, you will deny one another and curse one another, and your refuge will be the fire, and you will not have any helpers. And Lut believed him. Nobody else believed him. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam, many things are common in them, because in Nuh alayhi salam's story, he invited for a long, long time, not many people came. And Ibrahim alayhi salam invited, not many people came, but Lut alayhi salam accepted his invitation. Indeed, I will immigrate to the service of my Lord. Indeed, He is the exalted in might and the wise. And we gave to him Ishaq and Yaqub, and placed in his descendants prophethood and scripture, and we gave him his reward in this world, and indeed he is in the hereafter among the righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rewards in this dunya too when people come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mentioned Lut, and he said to his people, indeed, you commit such immorality as no one has preceded you with from among the world, meaning this thing did not exist before Lut alayhi salam. Indeed, you approach men and obstruct the road and commit in your meetings every evil. And the answer for his people was not but that they said, bring us the punishment of Allah if you should be the truthful. He said, my Lord, support me against the corrupting people. What do we learn here? Allah keep this book in our generations, because over the time, the books will be lost. This is why you and I need to put our share in preserving this book. And share stories of prophets with our kids. And whatever comes your way, accept it, because it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 31 to 45. Falsehood is flimsy. What do we learn here? And when our messengers, that is angels, came to Ibrahim alayhi salam with the good tidings, they said, indeed, we will destroy the people of that is Lut city. Indeed, its people have been wrongdoers. Ibrahim said, indeed, within it is Lut. Look at the love of Ibrahim alayhi salam for the believers. He said, there's Lut alayhi salam too. If you're going to destroy the city, what about him? They said, "We are more knowing of who is within it. We will surely save him and his family, except his wife. She is to be of those who remain behind." His wife never accepted Islam. How sad this is, right? So you and I have to worry about our Islam and our family, because just because you may be getting the Quran, that doesn't mean your family is getting it too. So make dua and make effort that they get this Quran too. And when our messengers, that is angels, came to Lut, he was distressed for them and felt them a great discomfort. They said, "Fear not, nor grieve. Indeed, we will save you and your family, except your wife. She is to be of those who remain behind. Indeed, we will bring down on the people of the city punishment from the sky, because they have been defiantly disobedient. And we have certainly left of it a sign as clear evidence for a people who use reason." And to Madian, "We sent their brother Shu'ayb, and he said, 'O my people, worship Allah and expect the last day, and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption.' But they denied him. So the earthquake seized them, and they became within their homes corpses falling down, falling prone. And we destroyed Ad and Thamud, and it has become clear to you from their ruined dwellings, and Shaitan had made pleasing to them their deeds and averted them from the path, and they were endowed with perception. And we destroyed Qarun and Pharaoh and Haman, and Musa alayhi salam had already come to them with clear evidences, and they were arrogant in the land, but they were not outrunners of our punishment. So we seized them for his sin, and among them were those upon whom we sent a storm of stones, and among them were those who were seized by the blast from the sky, and among them those whom we caused the earth to swallow, and among them were those who we drowned. And Allah would not have wronged them, but it was they who were wronging themselves." In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning all the nations together. Some were drowned, some were swallowed, some had a stone rain. All these hard punishments came because of their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "The example of those who take allies other than Allah is like that of the spider who takes, that is, construct a home. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ تَخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ." What do we learn here? This spider who takes construct a home, and indeed the weakest of the home is the home of the spider, if they only knew. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here? The disbelief. The disbelievers, they think that their disbelief, their falsehood is very strong. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing their falsehood with? Spider webs. Spider's web, I don't know if you have seen it or not in reality. It is very flimsy, right? It looks very, very like when you touch it, it breaks. But when you actually, did you ever try hosing it down? Meaning you put pressure water on it, it doesn't break. It does not break, even though it is made out of thin saliva, right? Very thin. And it's like, it's not even there. It's how tiny and invisible sometimes it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the falsehood is like that, like a spider's web. If you try to kill it from far away, it's not going to work. But if you just go near it and try to touch it with your finger, it will go away. You know what we learn here? This worldwide web of falsehood, it's really there because the believers are not really going near them and touching them and try to fix them. How many times we see this web, this falsehood going all over, and we don't say anything out of niceness, out of minding your own business, out of minding you're too busy in our own life. Muslims live within Muslims, and they don't say anything, they don't do anything. So this is why the falsehood, it seems to be very strong, but it is not. The minute you try to penetrate within them and try to touch them, touch their heart and give them the Quran, it opens up the heart. It really does, right? Because Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard the Quran, his heart opened up. And there's so many stories when people hear the Quran, they come, the falsehood breaks down. So Falsehood has no power. It's the people who are not trying to break it. This is why. So, indeed, Allah knows whatever things they call upon other than Him, and He is exalted in might and wise. And these examples we present to the people, but none will understand them except those of knowledge. Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth. Indeed, in that is a sign for the believers. And recite, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what has been revealed to you of the book and establish prayer. Indeed, prayer prohibits immorality and wrongdoing, and remembrance of Allah is greater, and Allah knows that which you do. What do we learn in this whole chose? The last ayah is really everything, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever goes around, our job is to recite this Quran, attach the Quran, give this Quran importance in our life, and do salah, and we do the basics of Islam, and then we will be able to fight the falsehood that is around us. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for you and I to really destroy the falsehood and do our part, at least start from our own self, and then move in the outer circle, inshallah. If you go to the next slide, you see the dua of the today, and that is, this is raising the ummah, which becomes a leader, right? Because this is how the falsehood, the web of the falsehood will go away. In the previous ayah, we learned that the we have to, this worldwide web of the falsehood can break easily with one touch. And how can we do that? By raising a generation who is powerful enough, who is confident enough, and who has this leadership quality that they can really go and speak up and establish the deen the way it's supposed to be. So let's make this dua in the sense of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just reciting. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayunin waja'alna lil muttaqina imama waja'alna lil muttaqina imama وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And if you go to the last slide, you will see the take-home message for today, and that is, our children are silent observers. They reciprocate whatever we do. So be mindful of any insolence in our life, of any attitude that we have, and we really have to be mirror for our children. Instead of just telling them, do this and don't, try to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come up and give you the hikmah that we can really change the mindset of our children and develop the love of Allah in them, so they can be a nation who can be the leaders of the ummah. Inshallah. And with that, inshallah, let's make dua for ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us ability to be the one who is working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who is the one who is going to bring goodness in this world. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خير كثيرا واسم جزا. الحمد لله رب العالمين. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, we completed another juz. Subhanallah. With lots of guidance as a mother, as a sister, as a daughter, and as a wife. Alhamdulillah. What a divine book, subhanallah. Guidance every step of the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave us alone after sending us to this world, but gave us guidance from birth to death in every scenario we can think of. And can you imagine what life would have been if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent this guide along with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. I can't even fathom the thought. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ultimate love of Him for His beautiful kalam and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Ameen sum ameen. Now, I would like you to please share any thoughts or any points which you will take from this session, inshallah wa ta'ala, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a huge sadqa jariya for you all, inshallah wa ta'ala. If anybody wants to take mic, they are most welcome to do so, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, sisters. Subhanallah, Musa alayhi salam story again in great detail. doing good is easy, taking care of it is not. Yes, alhamdulillah. That should be our goal too, that we have to safeguard our good deeds, inshallah. Just like we safeguard our properties, our important documents, our jewelry, our, you know, like important stuff, money, and we have to, this is our commodity, which is going to be our currency, which is going to be used at the Day of Judgment, right? So it is so very important to take care of it. So we should have that in our bank balance there to cash it, inshallah ta'ala. Anyone else? I guess tired? Long session? Huh? That's fine, inshallah wa ta'ala. I know you all must be very tired, and we will just close the with a dua. We'll close this session with a dua, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you this beneficial knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you absorb each and every point so you can it can be useful in your lives, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you have given us guidance how to be the best mother, best wife, best sister, best daughter. Please grant us hikmah to implement all of this in our lives. Ya Allah, grant us hikmah, grant us your help to raise righteous members of Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings. Ya Allah, grant us an opportunity to rectify our mistakes. Ya Allah, grant us the ability, strength and steadfastness to be on Sabilul Jannah highway. Ya Allah, please guide us to stay away from the Sabilul Ghayy. Ya Allah, help us to people... Ya Allah, help us to be the people who say and exercise sami'na wa ata'na. Ya Allah, grant us hikmah to deal with any and every trial with sabr and ultimate trust, which we will face in our lives under your guidance and under Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Ya Allah, we are trying to do our islah. Please accept our efforts and reward us our islah. Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on your oneness. Ya Allah, we witness when there was no one, it was only you. When there will be no one, it will be only you. You are, and you will be the creator, the master, the sustainer of the entire universe. Ya Allah, we believe in all unseen, whether angels, prophets, all the divine books, or on the day of judgment, the punishment of grave, everything without seeing them. Ya Allah, keep us on this belief in our lives and call us back while we are still on this belief. And Ya Allah, please help us guard our iman till our last breath. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعفو عنا. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم واستغفرك لما لا أعلم. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will see you all tomorrow with Juz 21, inshallah wa ta'ala. Stay safe, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from the shar of shaitan and every evil or any shar there is. Amin summa amin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.